We're doing the Sefer HaMidot, we're up to page Kuf Pei Bet. And the Magen Midovna had been discussing the futility in pursuing materialistic goods when that is the focus, when that is the ends and not the means. When a person is in love with material goods, so then he's entered a futile rat race. And he explained the following thought. He says, think about it. When you're born, you're not too worried about too much. And if once in a while you have meat and wine, you're so happy with it, life is good. Then you get married, you think, the only thing I was missing until now was a wife. Now that I have a wife, now I have it all. No, you don't. Now that you have a wife, you need a roof over your head. Now that you have a wife, you need to have better furniture. Now that you have a wife, your expenses go up. You say, okay, but I have a wife and things are calm. All I need are kids. You get kids. Now you suddenly have a million other expenses you have to cover. He says, the way the world works is, the more you have, the more upkeep it takes. And that means that as you advance in the world, you think you're advancing, but really, you're obligating yourself more and more. You enter much more responsibilities. You have to make much more money, and you end up entering what we call the rat race. So, first of all, this is something to think about. People think, I'll save money later. Well, later your expenses go up. You guys know how much diapers cost for a month for a kid? Diapers seems like a trivial expense.
How much are they?
Well, let's see. Each pack, we buy the cheap packs. I pay 25 shekel a pack. Other people pay 50 shekel a pack or 40 shekel a pack.
I guess it's the garbage.
So let's say 40 shekel a pack, because that's what the average person pays. So 40 shekel a pack. A pack has, depending on the size of the kid, we'll say roughly 30 diapers. A kid, let's say, uses 6 diapers a day. So a pack covers you for less than a week. So let's say you use 5 packs a week. So you're 5 packs a month. So that's just diapers for one baby is somewhere in the range of 200 shekel a month. That's just diapers. You're talking about over 2,000 shekel a year.
That's an internet connection.
What?
That's the price of an internet connection.
But that's just diapers.
I know.
We haven't spoken about clothing, schooling, the hasa'a, you know, transportation to the school. The expenses just grow when you have kids. Baruch Hashem, right? At the end of the day, just the books for school, for the kids before the school year, just the books you need to buy for school could cost you a few thousand shekels here in Israel. So you have to know, you have to get into the habit of saving and start saving now. Save, and you should always be saving. Yeah?
Who do you think costs more, the life of kids?
I will tell you. I say many times, I don't know if I ever said this in this class, but I've said many times that the best investment I ever made was that piece of metal my wife wears on her finger. That was, don't talk to me about cost. If you want to talk cost benefit, there's nothing that comes close to that. That's and the truth is with children also. But at the end of the day, you also have to know that there are expenses that have to be covered. And so the Magen Midovna continues, we're on Kuf Pei Bet, the middle paragraph. Umanama ata melitzatam shorer chasid alav shalom. King David, that pleasant singer, the pious one, peace be upon him, he said the following allegory. He said, Givainaim uchav lev otolo uchal. A person whose eyes are high, and heart is wide, I can't stand being with him. And if you look closely, you'll see this is a perfect allegory for what we've been discussing. It is impossible for a person to reach a point where he feels like, I have it all. This is where I want it to be. Now I'm happy. Now I have all the material goods I wanted. Ad ki tichleh ta'ava v'lo itaveh od. You will never reach a point where you have zero desire. Where you say, I have it, that's it. V'atam, and the reason behind it is, giva einayim uchav lev. That's what King David says. The eyes are high, the heart is wide. Te'aret rechav levav geva einaim, ki hinei hamagbia einav v'tofes b'riyato meshech aroch ad makom asher ha'ein sholet. He describes the person whose heart is wide, whose desires are all-encompassing, as one whose eyes are lifted. Why does he do that? Because when you lift your eyes, you look up as far as your eyes can see. Vehu olech hatishpot alav ben adam, ki bevo'o ata el hamakom asher amdu eina vekamu mer'ot lehala, lo yelech od hala ki lo yireh od, ki ma shehaya tchila lifnei einav, u'ata me'acharav. Now, a person looks into the distance, and then he says, I'm going. He sees as far as he can see. Do you really think that when he gets there, he's going to say, look at how much I've accomplished, I'm not moving forward anymore? That's not what happens. You keep looking forward, and you keep moving forward.
There are people that they're stuck in that position of fun.
כי אם לא יסתום עיניו וילך, הלא יהיו עיניו רואות בכל פעם הלאה הלאה. If you don't stop looking forward and saying, I wonder what's there, so then you're always going to keep looking forward and keep saying, let me go see what's just beyond that. וכל עוד שיתקרב למקום אשר שם היה קץ שליטת העין, הלא יתרחק עתה גבול ראייתו בכל פסיעה ופסיעה. Every footstep you take, you can see a little bit further, and you want to go a little bit further. Think about it. They thought they'd reach the end of the world if they go out to sea, right? They thought at some point in the sea, the world ends. What?
The fortune thought that. Pretty much everybody. If not, that's not true.
I wouldn't say anything against Portuguese.
No, right? No. They found out it's not true.
Before they would fall off the end?
Yeah, but they kept going. Because they kept seeing that they could see the sea, that they're not hitting the end yet. They kept going, and they never
monsters,
hit the end.
And then they worked out the monsters, like the sea monsters.
That's a homonym,
right? See the sea? יפה. ואם כן, אם יאמר לך כי רצונו ללכת עד המקום אשר ראיית אינו שולטת, מאז תדע ותבחון שלא יהיה קץ בסוף אל הליכתו. If a person says, I want to go as far as I can see, you know he's never going to stop traveling. Because he could always see further. That's how it works with our heart. When we allow our desires to be open, so then wherever you reach, whatever point you reach, you keep looking forward. What we described, the guy who had $850 million, but he had to hit the billion. If you think he would have hit $1 billion, he would have stopped? No. Wherever you go, you see further. So you want to go to the next one. That, by the way, we try to give practical advice here too. That, by the way, is one of the big mistakes people make in investments. You enter an investment, let's say you got it right. It's a good investment. So you have to ask yourself, how much can I make off of this investment? You bought something at a dollar. How high do you think it's going to go? You think it's going to hit $100? If it doubled itself, isn't that good? But people don't do that. When they buy something at a dollar and it hits $2, they tell themselves, it can still go up another 50 cents. I'll make another 50%. One of the biggest mistakes people make in investments is they don't put in a take profit. They don't tell themselves, they don't put in an order at what point they pull out of the deal in profit. And then, even if they got the right deal, but they never pulled out in profit, they never made a penny. So the fact that on the books it showed it made a higher value, that's this idea. I made this much, well, I can make more. The higher you go, the further you can see. We're on Kuf Pei Gimel. And when he reaches the point, which was the point that he desired originally, and he makes that amount, that 200 zuz, you have a keshat ha'abamot. Now we'll say, well, now I should make 400. And then he wants thousands, and then 10,000. That's why David HaMelech compared it to someone who looks up. Because if he'd only close his desire and invest it and say, this is what I want, the way it is now, לא היה לו תאווה לבקש גדולות. Then he wouldn't want more than that. כמשפט הולך הנזכר. Like the person who's traveling. You keep looking and you keep saying, let me just see a little bit further. I don't know if you guys had this as kids. I used to do this all the time. You're on a hike and you see the sun setting and you know you have to get out of the terrain before the sun sets and you just want to see a little bit further. I just want to see what's around that bend. I just want to see the view from that point. And you keep pushing yourself and you say, I'm just going to see that. And you know you're going to end up in the forest for the night. You know you're in trouble. Because every time you see a little bit more, you say, let me just see one more thing. What? I never ended up in there for at night, but I got very close. Yeah.
So what if you completely shut off these desires? How would you ever want to get married or have kids or any of those things?
So he hasn't yet described what we should. He's too busy at this point describing what you shouldn't. He's addressing the don't, and then he'll describe what the do is. What I keep saying, even though he hasn't said it yet, is that the question is what the focus is. Is it an ends or a means? If the material world is an ends, then you're never satisfied. If it's a means, then you can be satisfied. But he didn't say that yet. He's still describing, he's trying to wean us off our addiction to material goods. And we live in a generation that's probably the worst the world has ever seen. Meaning, we're
the generation.
Could be, and could be it's true.
Didn't they kind of on the hieroglyphics and the pyramids like comments like today's generation, what's going to happen in the future? They did.
As a child, I used to enjoy reading quotes. So one of the quotes was, this generation is so decrepit. They don't stand up for their elders, they contradict their elders, they cut off their elders, they don't speak respectfully. This generation, what will be with this generation? And that's a quote from, I think, Aristotle. So, yeah.
But it doesn't mean because of that, the society will
be better than maybe in the 60s.
What?
Maybe this generation might be better than the 60s.
Maybe, I mean, in terms of the materialism, everywhere you go, we're honed to be, I don't want to use harsher terms, we'll just say materialistic, even though I think it's gotten to worse than that. I mean, when I speak to people who come from the secular world, their frames of reference are materialistic to the point of being hedonistic. I mean, that there's the level of materialism has reached proportions that...
Religion.
Yeah. He calls it a religion already. I'm saying...
It's mystic, so it's like God, so it's religion.
I'm saying there's... you could sit on a bus and the driver doesn't turn on the air conditioner. And we're all uncomfortable. Everyone wants the air conditioning. The question is, how do you react? How upset are you that you have a minute that it's stuffy? How do you talk to the driver? And how do people view their wives? I'm saying let's take something basic. How do people view their kids? How do people view marriage? The society has become so self-centered that everything is a tool for bettering me, and we're paying the price for it. Paying the price for it, but I don't know if I told you guys the story. After 2008, so there was a psychologist who used to travel to New York. He had a practice. He used to come in like 1 week out of the month, see a bunch of patients, and then fly back here. It's been I don't remember the details anymore, but he said that he stopped practicing there. Because he got so tired of people coming to him and telling him they want out of the marriage because now that their husband doesn't have the money to fund all the furs and the limousines and the lifestyle they were used to, what do they have in this marriage? So, and people felt legitimate talking that way. So he got so tired of hearing that. What?
Where was that?
This was in the U.S.
Yeah, which
city? I don't know if I should say. Okay, New York. I said it last time?
No, it's not. When he flies back to New York, it works.
Yeah.
You know what I heard that really bugged me? It was right on, like, what you're talking about as I was watching CNN. And they're talking, and they had a couple of female pundits trying to explain why the successful marriage rate was actually going up in the U.S. And they're like, well, the way we see it is like this. They're like, as we all know, more money equals more happiness. They sincerely believe this. They're like, more money equals more happiness. So nowadays, with the women in education, the women have jobs too, and the women are working too. So they've got money as well as the father who's working. And since they're both working, marriage is like this business agreement. They said marriage is like a business agreement, nothing else. So when these two people combine their income, more money, more happiness. That's why marriages are up. They sincerely believe that. And I'm like, you know, I actually feel bad for them too, because I'm like, if they believe like that, how will they ever have a happy marriage?
Right, but I would just point out one thing, that the Gemara does say that a prime cause for quarrels in the home, the Gemara words it as a lack of grains, which the Gemara really means that if you don't have enough of the basics, so then that is going to be a major cause for quarrels in the home. The Gemara says quarrels don't take control of a home for any other reason than the lack of basics. So I'm not saying there's no other reason to fight, but it does add pressure to a home, a situation where there's not enough food on the table. So there is some truth to that, that the economy does have a way of impacting the peace in the home. There is some truth to that. Yeah, Shlomo Amel says what you said. Yeah. So he concludes, and he says, "V'zeo," and that's the idea of "Kivayinaim uchav levav otolo uchal ki leval tava asher kaze in often nemalot tavato." What King David says, "I can't with such a person," is, "I'm never going to make him happy." Kal kol psiyah psiyah val kol malah asher yasig enav tzofiyot halala adin kitz. Because every step he takes, he's always looking beyond, and he always wants more. So that's what David HaMelech says, with such a person I can't. I can't, what he means is, I'm never going to be able to make him happy.